Anchoring. Anytime a person is in an associated, deep, intense state, if at the most intense part of that experience a specific stimulus is applied, then the two will be linked deeply and neurologically. Way back in the day, there was a man called Ian Pavlov, and there were many other people before him that may have spoke or introduced the concept of anchoring, but Pavlov is the famous example. And Pavlov would ring a bell, and his dogs would come running, and he would feed the dogs. Later on, he would ring the bell, dogs would come running, and he would feed the dogs. After a period of time, he would ring the bell, dogs would come running, saliva, you know, they're ready to eat, but there's no food. No food. And he would ring the bell, and the dogs would have that saliva and excitement, but no food. So what happens is the dogs link the bell. Yay! Dinner time. Body's ready. They get hungry. They have the saliva in their mouth. After a period of time, obviously it is the meal, but the bell, ding, 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 becomes the anchor. Now, with the bell becoming the anchor, it brings some advantages. You could take the dogs into different situations. Let's say you take the dogs out to a park and the dogs go too far away. The dogs go too far away. You go, dogs come running back. Yeah, they come back running for a feed, but the point is they come running back. So it's really useful to have some anchors like that. Anchoring really assists us, and it's a major component of NLP, because we can take states like excitement, running back, getting ready for a meal. We can kind of link different states to different stimuluses like bells, and that gives us the ability to start moving stimuluses around, or perhaps invoking states that people normally enter or exists outside the conversation with you. So anchoring can assist us to gain access to those past resources, past resourceful states, and even linking some of those past resourceful states to a bell, and then perhaps link them into the present and into the future. There are many examples of common anchors around our world today. And visually, just look at the Nike logo. You just have to look at it once. Or a celebrity. Or a cross. Automatically, you get a pile of thoughts coming into your head. You know what that Nike logo tick means. You know what the cross means. Another type of common visual is the facial expressions. There are many common facial expressions around the world, and it doesn't matter what country you're in. If a particular facial expression has these micro muscle responses, you could tell that the person is angry or surprised or sad or happy. Stop sign, signs, gestures, visual anchors. Now, the auditory anchors, common ones are words, names, voice tonality, jingles, accents, ringtones, music, engines, all kinds out there. Then we have the kinesthetic, you know, some of our clothing. Or some people find that they put on their running shoes and boom, they just feel ready to run. You may have heard that in some meetings, they might deliberately give out warm drinks, because when everyone has a warm drink, they get that kinesthetic response of a warm drink in their hand. And of course, we have our taste anchors. Like, honestly, who loves a bit of spice in their food? Or what I love to do is, I love to cook something like really simple. Like, I might fry an egg, but what I'll do is I'll put a bit of garlic on the side. And everyone is like, oh, what are you cooking? It smells so good. And I'm like, frying an egg. They're like, but it smells so good. Well, you haven't tried my magical eggs. Okay, so there are some common examples there and a basic definition. And now we'll get started in how to set an anchor.